This is the With a Dog podcast, a podcast for the modern dog parent. I'm your host, Carly, and every Wednesday I bring on pet professionals or some fellow dog parents, and we laugh, learn, and commiserate about everything from the confusing vet visits to dog park etiquette to the 2 a.m. potty breaks. Essentially, life with a dog. Hello, people with a dog. We have a solo episode today, so it's just me and you, and you guys know that I don't love doing solo episodes because it's sometimes hard just like talking into the void, and it's also hard sometimes when the content or like the what I'm talking about is maybe not like strictly informational, because when it's informational, I feel like I can just like impart this info. You guys can learn something great. But today I feel like what I'm talking about is a little bit more like life update. And it's a bit more, I don't know if esoteric is the right word, philosophical in thought. It's not an informational episode like this is how microchips work. And it's a little harder to do episodes like that, just talking into the void about this like philosophical thing, not knowing if it's actually going to be enjoyable or useful for you guys. But I still think it's a worthy thing to talk about, this back to basics thing that I'm going to be discussing today, because it's been on my mind a lot lately, and it's also been something that has actively improved my life for the last few months. And I really have been thinking a lot about, one, how I got into this habit, what steps my brain like takes, and how it's improved not only lifestyle, but also dog mom life. And plus, I feel like I haven't had a one-on-one time with you guys in a long time. I think it's a little hard, you know, I've talked about this before. It's hard when you don't have a co-host to bounce things, you know, like a back and forth. And so I think I save a lot of my life updates when I'm doing my recordings with Charlotte and Ashley, rather than the ones that have like interview guests on. So that's why I just wanted to do a solo episode with you guys and say hi and tell you where I've been at lately. And where I've been at, on that note, let's jump into it. Let's dive into it, because I have been at the bottom of the pool, you guys. I have been, like, you know when you do like a meditation, like a guided meditation or something like that, or like yoga, and they tell you to like sink into it? Like, I don't know, I feel like that verbiage is always used in these like philosophical kind of discussions or like meditations where it's just like, sink into it. Drop deeper, drop down deeper. That's what I've been doing, and not intentionally, honestly. So if we're going with this, I don't know, metaphor of dropping down deeper, I am under the diving board. Like, I am in the deep end, down by the drain of the like 15-foot pool, under the diving board, you know, maybe like there's other kids going and diving for rings. No, I'm like that kid, that like creepy kid that just sat down there, and I'm just chilling. Like, I'm just down there thinking. I just unbothered, come up for air once in a while, drop down again. I don't know if this metaphor is like hitting for anyone else, but this is like a core memory because I spent so much time in a pool, like swimming and water polo and everything growing up. But there was always a kid. There was always that one kid who was like down at the bottom underneath the diving board, and the lifeguard would be like, someone could dive down there and tell him to get up. Like, someone tell him he can't be down there while other people are going off the diving board. That's me. So I'm that kid right now. I am in the deep recesses, deep end of my mind, just like thinking. Guys, I am just pondering. I am just having these philosophical thoughts for days on end. And it's almost like I have these different themes running through my mind. So I don't know how to explain it, but I have like a series of thoughts about life, and then my brain will bundle them together into different categories. And so now I have these different themes or these different categories or like buckets of thought. And it's things like, you know, balance of quality versus quantity in your life, you know, in your relationships and your purchasing and your food and exercise. It's like balance of quality and quantity. It's self-identity and how we tie certain things to our identity. And then there's a few more, but today, the main theme that has been running through my mind and the one I wanted to share with all of you is back to basics. It's a thought process that I've been having and actively and easily applying to all aspects of my life. So not just dog mom life, which I will talk about in this episode, but also just related to everything. Lifestyle, exercise, eating, fashion, the podcast, back to basics. And so in this episode, I'm going to talk about this back to basics thought process that's been running through my mind, how I've applied it to my life, and then also how specifically I've been applying it to dog mom life. And I'm going to add in some maybe helpful tips if you guys want to apply this thought process to your own life. Okay, wait, first tangent, like we haven't tangented 20 times already, but this is a PSA. I have a PSA for everyone. Make sure your dogs are on leash. Or I should rephrase. Make sure your dog is secure. The leash is fully clipped on and the harness is tight enough and their microchip is updated. Because twice in the last week have dogs gotten off their leash or harness around me right by busy streets. And I just feel like things come in threes and it happened too many times for me to ignore it. And I'm like, well, I have a dog podcast. Maybe this is the universe telling me to use my platform and tell everyone, make sure your dogs are safe and they're not going to be slipping out of any leashes or harnesses or collars anytime soon. One time it was actually Albus, my dog. He did not have his collar on, but he had his harness on and he was eating a pup cup near a busy road. It was just like a cafe and he was having his pup cup. I was drinking my coffee and he somehow, I have literally no clue. I think he was just like the way he was bending down, licking at this cup on the ground. His harness was able to just like get off of him somehow. And he's a Nakey boy right by these cars rushing past. And so thank God I had the pup cup. I immediately saw that his harness was off, kind of grabbed the cup and was like, come here, and like dragged him, you know, over so I could put his harness back on and tightened it up and it was fine. Like it all happened in a matter of like maybe 10 seconds. And then the other time was I was at yet another coffee shop and this woman was tying up her dog outside to go in and get her coffee. And so I think she like unclipped his leash to tie it around the tree and he slipped out of her hand while she was holding the harness. He slipped out of her hand and this was a busy, busy street right next to it. And he was like darting right to it. And she was like, Ollie, no. But you could tell she was like frozen. You know, she was standing there. She's like, I don't know if I should chase him. You could see all of this going through her mind in like a split second. And so I heard her say the name Ollie. And so I was just like, you know, did my little dog mom voice of like, treats, you know, Ollie, cookie, treats, biscuit. Like I was just like throwing out words. He immediately ran to me and like sat and I grabbed him and handed him off to her. And it was all fine. Like he was off for maybe 2 seconds. But both instances were risky enough that I was like, I got to tell everyone about this. I got to warn you. And also, I'm not going to lie, it was very validating for me in both instances that I was able to, like, I didn't have a panic moment. I didn't freeze. I didn't have that, like, shaky adrenaline feeling after it happened either. Because, you know, sometimes, like, something that like that will happen. Everyone's okay. It all turned out okay. But you still have that little, like, shaky, you know, adrenaline is still rushing through your body and you're just a little panicky for like a couple minutes after. I didn't have that at all. I literally went about my day for both instances. So it was validating because it made me have this feeling of she still got it in relation to animal handling, like handling of dogs, because I had so much training early in my career working at shelters and vet hospitals of like, you know, don't panic in big situations like that, you know, especially if you're at a shelter and there's like 200 dogs. It's like things like that, you know, someone slips off, a volunteer trips and loses the leash and, you know, like just whatever, things like that happen. You know, I did a lot of training for animal emergency rescue, like certifications and stuff too, and just different certifications with animal handling. And of course, specifically dogs. And so it's been many years since that. So I felt a little insecure these last few years. I'm not going to lie about, you know, I say I work in the pet industry and everything, but it has been a while since I've been working on hands with animals and I'm not like in that sector that I identify myself as. Going back to my little thought processes that I've been having lately of like self-identity. But I've been feeling just a little insecure in that I'm not working in that world anymore. Can I even speak with authority on some things? But those dogs being off near a busy road just really gave me like a little confidence boost of like, yeah, like you still trained in this in your life. You still have this knowledge. Maybe you're not utilizing it right now, but you still have a, you know, over 10-year career in the pet industry and you do have a lot of knowledge under your belt, not just with career, but also like as a dog mom. So even though these dogs got off their leashes or harnesses near a busy road, it did validate me a little bit. But also I'm telling all of you because one, that's like kind of a life update of like what I've been feeling lately. But two, I'm telling you so you guys can be on the lookout and extra aware as well. Okay, that was my tangent. Otherwise, as far as life updates, before I really get into the philosophical discussion, everything's good. You know, I'm reading some good books. I have this really actually back to basics thought process of how I'm reading and what I'm reading. And I cut a few inches off my hair. I'm really trying to like make it feel as healthy and thick as possible. So I'm avoiding coloring it or highlighting it as much as possible. So my hair is kind of like for the first time ever, more or less my natural color. Which is, yeah, the first time since I was a teenager, probably, which is weird because the last time it was my natural color, it was like white blonde. Like it was like that beach blonde, California blonde, sorority girl blonde. And that's what I was when I was a teenager because I was in the pool so much and there was chlorine and I was obviously living in California. So the sun, the chlorine, all of that just like really lightened my hair naturally. But now living in Seattle, my natural hair kind of what it actually is like a, I don't know, dirty blonde, mousy brown look. Anyway, it's kind of once again going back to that idea of like self-identity. Maybe I'll need to do another episode on that. But like what I thought I looked like is actually different. You know, like when I think of what my natural hair color was, it was always that blonde. And then when I moved to a rainy climate, I always kept highlighting it. But really over the last few years, I've stopped doing that. And so it's just interesting to be like, oh, hey, this is me. It's a different version of me, but this is also me. So that's that. Otherwise, I'm busy planning my sister's bachelorette, which is going to be in Florida, and her wedding, which is in May in Nashville. And so just kind of like helping with that stuff. Oh, and also here's another endeavor. Here's another life update. It's very important. Dog Zaddy and I have this bar near our house. It's called the Ruby or like Ruby Room or Ruby, whatever. It is literally a room. Like it is the size of our bedroom. It just has this bar in the middle and it's kind of like a speakeasy vibe, just like very dark, dark, you know, red wallpaper on the walls and everything's painted black. But the drinks are amazing. Good cost for cocktails in Seattle, which is another, you know, plus. And it's walking distance, so even better. But also they have all these portraits of dogs on the wall. And this bar has only been open for like 6 months or something, I think. And so it's the patrons' dogs. Like they said, oh yeah, you want to put your dog on the wall? Put it in a gold frame. It has to have like a plain background, like an illustration of the dog, basically. So Dog Zaddy and I have come up with a plan. We've been going there maybe a little too often because we're like, we want the people to know us. We want the bartenders to know us. We want to be regulars. So when we bring our oversized picture of Lupin in a massive frame that I want to be like front and center in the middle of the wall, maybe they will actually do that for us. One of the bartenders was like, yeah, I don't even think you guys need to like be important or anything. You know, if just like anyone can just bring their photo in a gold frame and just we'll put it up. And I was like, okay, interesting, cool. But we want that spot. We want that middle spot for Lupin's cute face. So I have ordered the painting. Hopefully we can get it in a frame and up in the next couple weeks. I will keep you guys updated on that on my Instagram and the podcast Instagram. So that's been my biggest dog endeavor lately. Very important things. Like it is something Dog Zaddy and I talk about like every day. We're like, all right, should we go to the Ruby today? And it's like, it's a Tuesday. Like, do we want to have cocktails on a Tuesday? We're like, well, we really need to cement ourselves with the bartenders there. So yeah, as I said, something that's been important in our life lately. And then also I've been fairly good about doing my weekly hikes with Albus. You know, obviously it's the worst weather right now in Seattle. The January, February, March weather in Seattle is in my experience, the worst. It's just very gray. There's no holidays to look forward to. This is when seasonal depression really like kicks in, which is maybe another reason I'm just deep in my head having philosophical thoughts, but whatever. At least it's productive and not like full on depressive episodes like I've had in the past with seasonal depression. So the weather has not been great. So I'm not really doing a great job at doing the hikes, but we're at least going to local hikes, like local parks that have a decent incline and is like a dirt trail and stuff. So we have been doing that at least once a week. And I look forward to maybe the weather getting a little bit better within the next month or so. So Albie and I can go further outside of Seattle and do some fun hiking. Okay, that's officially all of my life updates. Thank you guys for listening to that. At the beginning of the episode, I was like, we're going to talk about this, and I'm all being philosophical, and then I'm going off about my hair color. So I am still me, don't worry. But back to basics, the theme of today's episode. So a little bit about my decision-making processes in the past. Personally, how my brain works, and I have told you guys I have ADHD, but I feel like I've managed it pretty well my whole life. It's not deeply impactful. But really what I struggle with is it's called ADHD paralysis, and there's like different categories of it, but choice is the one that I have a really hard time with. So it's like decision-making. And if you want to add a little woo-woo to it as well, I'm also a Libra, which is the scales, like balance. So I always want, like every single decision, I need it to be balanced. I need it to be like the correct decision. So in that, with the ADHD paralysis, and just maybe it's a Carly thing, who knows, but I will add in all the possible variables that could exist for that problem. And then I make a decision based off of that. And when I say variables, I don't mean like fretting over the outcome. Like it's not an anxious thing. It's more like I have a lot of things swirling in my mind and I pull on like every little research of knowledge and then add it into my decision, basically. So let me be more clear. I really don't feel like it's an anxious thing. I don't like fret about the outcome, or once I make the decision, I don't worry about it. Usually I'm like, the decision is made, and I don't like have anxiety about it afterwards. I mean, I'm not a therapist, so maybe there is anxiety in it, like a professional can tell me, but I really do feel like it's more of a choice thing. Like it's more of a decision-making thing. I guess the example I would have is, let's say you have a problem or a paper you're writing for school. You go onto Google or the library website or whatever, and you pull all of the research, right? You get like all of the source materials, and then you start rifling through it all and choose what you need for your paper, what is going to support your hypothesis or, you know, your argument. And then you rifle it all down, and then there you go. There's your paper. There's your decision, basically. And that's how I make every single decision, is I rifle through all of the things I think I need to make that decision. And then I apply it to the problem. Then I produce my outcome, my decision. So the issue with that is I add too many details, too many variations, too many influences and options to each thought, each decision I make. So I know this may sound like, Carly, duh, of course, when you buy a house, you're going to look at what can we afford? What's the market right now? What's the interest rates right now? Like you're going to, you know, what's the best school district? What's the neighborhood? Like, yes, whenever anyone makes a decision, they compile the needed info. But I'm talking about, I do this with what clothes I put on in the morning, what I eat for lunch, when I should exercise during the day. Like I overthink it. I add too many variables that are kind of unneeded. And that's why this back to basics thing that I've been doing has been so revolutionary to me, at least. Maybe all of you out there are like, yeah, this is like your brain is whack. This is how I've always made decisions. Your back to basics ideology, Carly, is nothing new. But for me, it is. So I'm just, as I said, I'm just imparting it in case it could help any of you to do a specific example. So as I said, let's say lunch. It's lunchtime. I go to the kitchen to get something. The thoughts that go through my head are, how much protein is in the meal I'm about to have? How much protein did I have for breakfast? When am I going to work out today? I don't want to work out on a full stomach. What is the actual nutrients in this? Like, am I eating something healthy? What's for dinner? If I'm having a salad for dinner, I don't want a salad for lunch too. Should I save this food for tomorrow? Because tomorrow I'll be more busy. Maybe I should make something that uses the spinach that's going bad because I don't want to waste food. And the list goes on. Right? So all of that is like going through my mind as I stand in front of the fridge. It's adding too many variables to the decision. This is what I do for every single decision. Like, do I put gas in the car? You know, if I drive to that one that's a few miles away, then I will get home later, but that one's a little cheaper. Maybe I should just go to this, but oh God, what's that phone number I'm supposed to put in for the rewards? Or maybe I just wait until tomorrow because Dog's dad is going into work. He can fill it up on his way to work. No, is that inconvenient for him? Like, too many variables, right? Like, those are the things that are swirling in my head for every single decision. And it shouldn't be like that. It should just be, Carly, are you hungry? Yes. Great. Go eat something. Eat whatever you want. Is the car on empty? Yes. Great. Go get gas. I mean, I'm not going to say this is like a woman thing, because I can't speak for all women or how everyone's brain works. But I do think a lot of times women have this like multitasking, overthinking thought process. A lot of times we are aware of that bag of spinach that we bought because we're trying to be healthy, but now it's wilting in the fridge. We are more aware of, oh, if I drive over here to get gas, it's going to be a little bit more inconvenient for people and I may be late to dinner and I don't want that, blah, 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 blah. I think we do have this really great way of thinking that I think is really unique to a lot of women. Not saying men don't also have this, like this could apply to everyone. But in my experience, I think a lot of women really just like add all these variables. So whether it's ADD related like me, or if it's a woman thing, or if it's just a Carly thing, who knows? Adding these variables add a significant amount of stress to our life. I don't know if it's a age/maturity thing for me lately. I don't know if it's the fact that I don't have Lupin anymore, so I have more time and energy for myself. I don't know if it's that I've been working with a healthcare professional to get the correct supplements for myself, looking at some deficiencies I have, blood work, all of that, to like get the correct supplements that I should actually be taking rather than me just guessing. Maybe it's all of those things together, but my decision-making processes have been so clear lately. And this is what I was talking about of going deep in my mind and being all philosophical. When I'm down at the bottom of that pool, when I'm just like in my head thinking, I'm so clear. And when I make my decisions in life these last few months, I'm so clear. It's not a jumble. It's not adding all these variables. And as I said, I've just been like feeling these themes. Like my brain will just name it or like categorize it. And the theme that's been coming up, like the category that I assigned to it, was just back to basics. I've had such clarity, such peace lately. I've been able to prioritize the stuff that I actually want to prioritize. And I really do think it's because of this back to basics mindset of I've just been removing all of these other variables, all of these other things that society tells me I need to add into my decision process, or maybe just knowledge I've consumed throughout my life, or my own insecurities. All of those variables I've just gotten rid of in everything. And it really has just allowed me to reach some of my goals in these last few months that I've never been able to reach before. I want that for you guys too, because I know that struggle. I know that struggle of just like years and years of being like, why can't I achieve this? Or why am I self-sabotaging? Or am I self-sabotaging? Or is it just that this goal isn't important enough for me? Or I know that feeling. And so that's why I'm like, hey, this has worked for me. And this also has made an improvement in my dog mom life. So let me tell you guys about it. I feel like I've been edging you guys. I feel like I keep talking about this like back to basics theme, but I haven't actually told you what I've been doing. I'm just realizing that right now. I do have notes of what I wanted to talk about, and yet I keep wandering away from the point. But my last wander, I will say, thank you also for sticking with me with the podcast through all these years as well. One of those goals that I keep talking about of what I've wanted to achieve for a long time but have not been able to for whatever reason was podcast stuff. And for the first time in a while, like since the podcast was started, I really just feel so confident and driven in what we've created and what I can provide for all of you. As I said, it's just this clarity of thought and this basic thought process. Basic as in, what is the mission of the podcast? Great. Any decision you make, just go back to that mission. Ask yourself, does this align with what you want to produce? Like the podcast you want to produce, the content you want to give to your listeners. That's the only question I ask myself. That's the only variable I add into my decision-making process. Not looking at download numbers. I'm not looking at chart positions. I'm not looking at how many followers a guest has. I'm not looking at how many views my reels are getting. It really is purely just put it out there and be happy with it. And because that is kind of the mission. Like put something out that you're happy with that is aligned with the mission of the podcast. And that's all that matters. Plus, of course, whatever you guys want. So if you want specific topics or things for me to talk about more or specific guests on, always feel free to DM me, because part of that mission really is serving all of you as well. So I want to say thank you to all of you for sticking with me through that journey as well, because it really does feel like I'm getting closer to what I always dreamed of with this podcast. So that's the podcast stuff. But moving on to dog mom life and this back to basics ideology. When I say back to basics, I just mean get to the root of the thought, or like get to the root of what you of your intention with this. So as I kind of did examples earlier, are you hungry? Yes. Great. Go eat. Don't worry about the protein. Don't worry about the bag of spinach. If you want to eat some beef jerky and an apple and that's your lunch, fine. Like, that's fine. Because you're hungry and that's what you want to eat, go for it. Same thing with the podcast. You need a guest for next week. Does this guest that you want to invite on align with the mission of the podcast? Great. Invite them on. Period. It really is just getting to the root of what is the main question? Like, what is the main intention? The need behind it. And then that's your answer. And reducing all of the other variables out there that we are told or our crazy brains add in needlessly. Let's say you're trying on jeans. You know, society will tell you, no, it makes your thighs look too big, or it's going to cut into your stomach here. Baggy doesn't look good on your body shape. I need to stick with the skinny jeans because that's what I know and love. Things like that. Like, you're just adding all these variables in. And it really should be, you try something on. Are you comfy? Like, do they clothe you? Do you like them enough to spend money on them? Great, done. It's really about eliminating all those other thoughts, which I understand to a lot of people, easier said than done, to me as well. And so that's why this has been so impactful in my life, is because I really have just been drilling down to my intention, to the really like the base need of each decision. And so specifically for dog mom life, I've been also drilling down to the base need of each decision, like the base, the main mission of dog mom life. You know, with having Lupin, he was, if anyone doesn't know, he was my first dog who passed away in November as an old boy. Miss him very much. But he was such a big part of my life and such a big personality with big needs and interests and wants that he made very clear. And so I think over the last 10 years with him, I got caught up not in why I love having a dog, but why I love having Lupin specifically. I catered my dog decisions and my dog mom life around him rather than what I wanted or needed out of dog mom life. So many of you may be like, well, yeah, obviously each dog is individual and they're going to have specific needs and you're going to cater your decision around your specific dog's needs. But what I mean more is I got into the habit of adding these other variables, these Lupin variables to each decision. And now that I have Albie, and it's just him and I, and he is such an easy dog. You know, obviously we've had him for quite a few years, but it was just because he's so easy, it was very easy for him to just tag along with whatever the decisions we were making for Lupin. And so now that it's just Albie and he's so fun and easy, I'm drawing back to basics of what do I want out of my life with him? What are interests and wants and needs that we can share together that we can both enjoy? And having a kind of like base, like just very basic questions that I ask myself when I make decisions for him has been honestly life-changing lately as a dog mom. So, for instance, I need to take him for a walk. I used to just be like, all right, well, it's raining now, so maybe I should go later. And then Lupin doesn't like to go in multiple, you know, in the same direction every day. So I need to go in a different direction. And I should do that for Albie too. And tomorrow, I think we're going to go for a hike. So today, let's keep it light. And I would add these other variables, which is like totally normal. Like these are valid variables. But really, all I've just been doing is, does he need a walk? I look at him, does he want to go right now? Yes. You know, can I go right now? Yes. Great. Bye. We're out the door. Or even feeding him. Oh, you know, our walk earlier wasn't very long. Maybe I can do a snuffle mat for him. I feel bad. I haven't given him enrichment in a few days. And the question is, does he need it? Will he be fine without it? Yes. Great. Then I'm not doing it. Pour the food into the bowl. It's fine. That may seem really cavalier to all of you. That may seem very like I'm ignoring his needs or his wants or his life satisfaction. But I just feel so, this is what I mean about the back to basics. Like, yes, all those variables that we've been taught to add to our decision making are important, but they're not more important than our own peace of mind, right? The stress that all those variables add to our decision-making process that over time just overloads us and stresses us out and we get decision fatigue, all of those variables are not so important, is not more important than our mental health. And so it's this balance that I've really been loving that I feel like I've been striking lately with, do I want to do it? Does he need it? Like this balance between, you know, so sometimes the snuffle mat, does he need it? The answer is no. But do I feel motivated to like, yeah, let's do that tonight? The answer is yes. Great. He gets a snuffle mat for dinner. As I said, these mission statements almost for each decision. And when I noticed I was doing it with little things like clothes and food and other stuff, I started recognizing what that thought process was and applying it to everything. And so I really have been going through my life with every single decision I make throughout the day of drilling it down to what like the one main question, the one main intention is, and then going from there. So I guess if you're maybe a visual learner, it's a little hard when we're on a podcast. But I guess the only thing would be, think of a pyramid. And I keep going back to this like dropping down, like working down the ladder or something. So I guess it's like an upside down pyramid. It's like Da Vinci Code up in here, guys. I'm aging myself with that. There was a lot of like iconography of upside down triangles and pyramid things in that movie/book. Anyway, okay, so think of a pyramid upside down. So this is not helping. This is not helping all you visual learners. But basically, you have all these variations, all these variables that I've been talking about, and then you slowly chunk them off. You use that last block, that last, like the tip of the pyramid. You've worked down, and this last one is really just the gut of the issue. It's the main need. Now, that pyramid, that point of the pyramid that we've worked down to, or if you're working up to it, whatever, we've gotten to the crux of the issue, the crux of the problem. And that is the question you use for every single decision. You're really just drilling down to the point. What is the point? So for me, some steps that I've taken to just really drill down to the point of each decision, but also of my dog mom life and my enjoyment with Albus. Here's the steps. One, reflect on what you enjoy about being a dog mom. Not what you enjoy about your specific dog, but what you actually like to do. And this is hard because oftentimes we see our dogs enjoying life and happy, so we derive pleasure from that. And so you're like, oh, whatever they do, you know, is what brings me joy. I would advise against going down those lines of thinking. What brings you specifically joy? Like when you imagined yourself with a dog before you got your specific dog, when you imagine yourself with a dog, what were you looking forward to? Was it hiking with them? Was it sitting on the couch and chilling with them? Was it just walks around the neighborhood? Was it picnics in the park? Whatever. What do you enjoy about being a dog mom? Like, what are your goals as a dog mom? Step two, what makes you feel bad as a dog mom? Like, what brings you guilt or what gives you shame? You know, do you have guilt about leaving them home while you're at work? Do you feel shame because your dog is not as well trained as your friend's dog? Whatever. Like, what makes you feel bad about being a dog mom? So write all these things down. Like, write your goals. Could just be a couple line items, like hiking, sitting on the couch, whatever. What makes you feel bad? Guilty, I feel like I don't give them enough enrichment. Nervous about bringing them to dog parks because what if something bad happened? Whatever. And then the step three. You apply this question to those feelings, to those goals. Can you change those things? And do you actually want to or need to change those things? So let's say the hiking with your dog. You're like, I always have really wanted to do this and I want to hike with my dog. So the question is, can you start doing that? Like logically, practically in your life, can you actually start hiking with your dog? If the answer is yes, great. Then there's your decision. You start doing it. Like you do one hike a week, like I've been doing with Albie. Or you do one hike a month. You know, if you live in a more urban area, it's harder to find different hikes or something. You're like, okay, we're just going to set this one goal of doing one a month. And then you can check that off your list. I made my decision. I can change this. Or can you change those things? You feel shame because your dog is not as well trained as your friend's dog. Can you change it? The answer is probably yes. Like, yeah, you like technically could start to spend like 30 minutes every night doing training with your dog. But then you need to do you actually want to or need to change those things? And that really is the important question as well, because honestly, the answer is probably no. Like, you're just feeling shame because you're comparing your dog or you as a dog mom to your friend. And so do you need to change those things? Like, do you really want to? Are you like, oh, I want to do training with my dog? If the answer is no, if you don't need to change it, your dog is well enough behaved for you and your lifestyle and what you want to do with them. If you don't actually have the time or the interest in doing more training, then there's your decision as well. And then it leaves your mind. That's the thing, is when I say the back to basics, I feel like I'm speaking in tongues. I hope I'm making sense during this recording. So when I say back to basics, it's you ask that question to yourself, like you drill it down to the crux of the issue. You ask yourself that main question. If you don't need to think, like if you don't need to worry about that variable or that shame feeling or whatever it is, then you need to let it leave your mind. That's the clarity of thought that you will achieve with this back to basics ideology. Anytime that shame starts to creep in again, like, oh, I really should train them, you go back to this question. Do you actually want to? Do you actually need to? Can you practically change? Like, do you have the time, the energy, whatever, the money for a trainer? No. Then there you go. Out of the mind again. You just go back to these main, like, mission statements of dog mom life, whatever those end up being for you. And you just go back to it over and over again with each decision, each feeling, each emotion that creeps in. Go back to that. Answer that question, answer that mission statement, compare it to the mission statement, and then either make a decision to do something about it or let it leave your mind. Done. So your friend says, hey, I really want to go to this outdoor patio with our dogs this weekend. You look at that invite and you think, do I actually want to go? It's like, yeah, I do want to see my friend. Do I want to bring my dog? Like, will this make me happier as a dog mom? Does my dog need it? And if the answer is no, if you're like, no, I just know that I'm too nervous to bring them. I'm a little stressed. This is not really, it's not going to bring me joy as a dog mom. Then don't do it. Don't do it. There you go. Leave them at home. Say, yes, I'd love to see you, but you know, I just don't think Fluffy is going to, like, I don't really want to bring Fluffy. If you want to go on a walk together, I think that would be that. I would enjoy that instead. If you want to get the dogs together, something like that. So it's just, it really is just like getting down to your mission statement as a dog mom. Does this align with the mission, my goals that I have for me as a dog mom? And does it align for the goals and mission I have for my dog? Does it meet the needs that they have? And then make your decision. So those are the steps that I would kind of recommend doing for dog mom life. And I should also say, I keep saying dog mom. This could apply for any dog parent. I am a dog mom, so I'm using the word mom. So this just really, it offers such clarity of goals and a release of unneeded or unwanted feelings and variables that society or ourselves have put on us. And that's why my brain has categorized it as a back to basics thought. It is purely just like, what is the intention? What is the base crux of the issue? What is the base mission here? What is the base need? It releases you from the, well, everyone on Instagram is doing dog sports, or everyone says I need to do more enrichment with my dogs. Gosh, I don't even travel with them. Like, why have I not flown to Europe with my dogs? Those kind of thoughts. It really does feel like it's just like sloughing off these extra layers of variables and concerns and emotions that you really just don't even need. And you get back to basic and just fulfill your own goals. And I really do think you guys are going to be able to get more life satisfaction out of this. So even if you need to write it down in your phone, in a journal, whatever, I really do think this like thought process can be added into any life decision as well. Like I talked about earlier, the what to eat for lunch, the getting gas, the how to walk your dog and when to walk them. It'll take some time to really drill down to the crux of like the question, to work down our upside down pyramid to the point. Once you apply, like once you actually write down like each little mission statement or get to the crux of each decision with whatever you're struggling with, whether it's decisions about food or exercise or dog things or work, in my opinion, you're going to be able to be more clear on your goals, make them a priority, start achieving them, and release yourself from these other emotions and concerns that are dragging you down. Okay. I'm calling it. I'm done. We're done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening during all of that. I made it a lot less about dogs than I wanted to. I had a lot more examples about like my life currently with Albie and just decisions and stuff. But for whatever reason, my mind was taking me towards like more of a lifestyle approach with this back to basics thing. So I hope you can still apply this to any part of your life, but obviously this is a dog podcast, so I hope it maybe helps you with anything concerning your dog and your life with them. And I hope you enjoyed this little life update. I'm excited that I was able to tell you guys a little bit more about what's been going on with me. Next week, we will be back to regular scheduled programming of a guest interview. I love you all. Thank you for being here. If you have not already, drop a rating or review for the podcast. If you're not going to give it 5 stars, then please don't. follow the podcast on Instagram is @withadogpodcast. And TikTok is @CarlyWithADog. Carly with a Dog also on Instagram is my personal account. I will see you guys next week. Bye. All content on the With a Dog podcast is for informational and comedic purposes only. It should not replace professional advice, treatment, or diagnosis by a certified veterinarian, trainer, or behaviorist.